with the grilling guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt, and it's a mitful. Backyard masters, barbecue blasters. Nobody smokes a T-bone faster. So when you see the grilling guy rig, hit the brakes, it's gonna be big. Stick around and put down the rake. Fire up your grill, there's no need to bake. You bring the party, we'll bring the smoke. You're gonna eat so much you might choke. So here's how it goes, and everyone knows. You're gonna listen to the Grilling Guys show.
Welcome back. Here you are, listening to the Grilling Guys. Bob, you know, we've had that rap now for 5 years, and I grin every
time.
Seven. Has it been that long? And you know, but anyway, it's to me, it's still relevant. I hope our listeners feel like it is too, because it's uniquely Grilling Guy. I get a grin out of it every time we play it. But
the first time I heard it not being in Grand Rapids, I was driving through Kansas City, and I was streaming our station on my iHeart app.
Right.
And I'm cruising through Kansas City, and all of a sudden, our rap comes on as a commercial. Sometimes we play it as a promo.
Right.
And it was so weird to be, you know, out of the state
right.
and hear that. But that's the beauty of Al Gore's internet.
Right. Yep. Exactly.
Hey, we didn't get a chance to do beef ribs on wood.
Oh.
But you did some pork ribs. So I would do a real quick little beef ribs thing. If you have a smoker or a Weber kettle, works great for this. And the kettles are still made in America, so you can buy them.
Right.
But beef ribs, I highly recommend trying on wood. If you've never done them before, don't be afraid of them. A lot of people are afraid of them. I mean, worst case scenario, you won't like them. They'll be too tough. And you can put them in a little beef broth, cover them up, throw them in the oven for an hour, and just moisturize them and tender them up a little bit. They'll be wonderful. But highly recommend just getting some beef ribs, having your butcher cut them individual ribs, if you can, or at least three ribs to a section, full bone, long, and put a nice rub on them, and put them on maybe 275, 250, good smoke for a couple hours, and let them roast for 6 hours or so, and then wrap them in some butcher paper, and just let them finish off.
Why butcher paper and not foil, other than I know you don't like foil, but what does the butcher paper do when you wrap them? Because it's not an airtight wrap, is it?
Well, it's kind of airtight, but it slows the moisture.
Evaporation?
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm a guy that really loves a good beef rib, but I'm also the guy that hasn't perfected that yet. So is the wrapping the key? Because they're either tough or they're overdone. It seems like every time that I've tried to do them, and so you're saying 250 to 275, six to seven hours.
I think the key to those is slow.
Okay.
I don't think it's like a brisket where you can do fast and furious.
And how do
I don't like fast and furious brisket anyway.
Right.
It's okay.
Yeah.
But I think barbecue is supposed to be relaxed. So I don't want to be all uptight and watching everything, unless I'm feeding a few hundred people, and then you're just going to be uptight.
Right.
But the average guy listening out there is not going to have to feed a few hundred people.
Right. So how do you know when that's done? Maybe that's where I'm missing it.
Okay. Just plan on 5 or 6 hours. And after 3 or 4 hours, take a peek at them and grab your tongs and try tugging a little piece off it. If you can't tug a little piece off, even on the corner, leave it in. And then you'll get to a point where you'll say, okay, they're looking really good. The meat has shrunk back from the bone a bunch. And that's why I like cutting them up into individual ribs, because then everybody can have one if you really like them, because they're pretty big. It's a Fred Flintstone piece, right?
Right, right.
And you got that bone sticking out, so you got a great handle. I have a vision of you in Kansas City when we were at the American Royal.
Right.
You had your very first one.
It was done professionally.
You were walking around like king for the day. We had to put a crown and a cape on you.
And right.
You were
a bib.
You were.
Because I was eating the hell out of that thing, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, no, and I do. I love them. And there's not a lot of seasoning you need to do on
You don't need much.
You let the meat do the work.
Yeah, it's a really wonderful chuck flavor that happens in the front end of the animal. And I just ordered a quarter of a beef. Monday, I went up to Big Rapids and met a buddy of mine, Air Force buddy, high school buddy, and then a couple other guys from up there. One guy has this place in Rogers Heights. It's called the Guitar Hospital. His name is Brian Gallup. And if you're into guitars, they teach kids. This thing's turned into an institution. He runs 20 people through there at a time in this giant classrooms with all this woodworking equipment. They teach you how to build a guitar. This guy
like an acoustic
is world
guitar or an electric one?
Everything. He is world renowned. So we went up there and Doug Singalob met us there, and he's got a big farm by where I grew up, and I told him I was about out of beef from the last one I bought, and he said, "Hey, I got a quarter left. You can have it." And I said, "Great.
Yeah.
Put my name on it." "Well, you can buy it," I think is what you said.
Right, yeah, yeah. Well, that's because it's good beef. So let's talk about the merit of keeping your grill clean.
I think of the last tailgate we did where we brought, I think, cheesy potatoes or something really yellow, and we had your smoker, and when we pulled the pan out, we didn't realize that all that black stuff on the lid of the smoker, or I mean on the roof of it, was going to come raining down on our beautiful, was it cheesy potatoes?
Yes, it was.
Or something?
Yep. We made a big pan.
Oh, my gosh.
A full pan.
We were mortified.
Of potatoes, and from opening and closing the lid, and you let it slip maybe once, and it goes bung up against the front. Well, it shook the smoker enough that it rained black sediment, which is, that patina is good. It adds flavor. It really does. I don't ever power wash my grill and degrease them or anything. But in that particular case, we didn't have them covered.
Maybe you will now.
Right. And we didn't have them covered. And when at one point, we must have lost the door and let it slam shut or something.
Well, in a smoker like that, when you're going to be using that, and it's a, you know, if you're not using soap, there's nothing wrong with, and I've got your power washer. You're welcome to take it back.
It's ours. We contributed parts to it.
There's nothing wrong with power washing, especially a big one like we've got. We each have different ones, but you have to actually get the roof of that thing or it's going to get you. And we learned a good lesson there that day.
Right.
It got us. And I remember the angst of looking at that beautiful, you had made up a beautiful big, and I love cheesy potatoes.
Yeah.
And seeing all those flies in it looked like a bunch of black flies.
Yeah.
So, yeah, cleaning the inside of your smoker, you can do it with several ways. But if you have a power washer, by all means, if it's a big enough smoker, hit the inside of that with just a little hot water and then clean out your grease traps and all that stuff.
Right.
Power wash your racks. Now, mine are all stainless, so they clean up really nicely. And they have a lot of flesh on them when you do a lot of stuff.
Yes, they do.
You can have some nasty stuff, and I'll guarantee if I open mine right now, there's a bunch of chicken pieces in there that I did not clean yet. But right. I'll be power washing it this week because I'm heading up to that Reed City Bash for the 30th, and I do not want any surprises on my food.
Well, no, and you don't ever want to get anybody ill because
you won't hurt
your stuff. But
you won't hurt a thing by cleaning the inside. Do not use soap. You'll get that patina right back.
Yep.
But by all means, make sure you get some of the bacteria and some of the stuff out of there.
So when we're cooking in the new clean grill, marinating is something that we do a lot of to add a flavor profile to a piece of meat. And simple chicken and simple beef marinades, you can find these on thegrillingguys.com, but we're going to highlight a couple of them.
Here's a nice one. I actually stole it from the interweb, and I, of course, played with it. But it's like four or five pieces of chicken breasts, or you can use beef if you want, some extra virgin EVO from Old World Olive Company, half cup of soy, six rosemary sprigs, four cloves of garlic smashed, and it's really simple. These things don't have to be complex.
So you've got oil, rosemary, garlic, and there was a fourth ingredient there, or did I? No.
Rosemary, soy.
Soy, that's what it was.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to get a little salty profile from the soy. The rosemary, nice aromatic.
Beautiful.
Yep.
I love it.
Garlic, obviously, that's a staple in my kitchen.
Yep, so you season the meat and let it set for 30 to 4 minutes so the seasoning sticks to it, and that seasoning is going to be salt and pepper. And then you let it make sure it's thawed to room temperature before you cook it or bring it up to room temp.
Right.
And be careful with chicken.
You don't want to marinate frozen meat anyway. You need it thawed out.
Yeah.
It doesn't necessarily need to be at room temperature, but when you're taking it to the grill, if it's at room temperature, you're going to get a lot better result.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially so you, and if they're bone in chicken breasts, you know, you'll get that bone section nice and cooked, and that's a big deal.
Now, not sure what Oysters Rockefeller and a Caveman Steak by Steve Raiklin have in common, but we're going to figure it out. Stick with us. We'll be back.